As you are gathering at home, I'm going to encourage you, just like we would do here, I'm going to encourage you to read, or stand rather, for the reading of God's Word. And those of you that are on our email and prayer chain, you know that we're going to be talking about Acts chapter 23 this week. And this is a remarkable text. Paul has really got himself into a tight spot. And out of this chapter, there's so much we could talk about. And again, I apologize even before I begin the sermon today, because we're going to only have opportunity to dig deep into a single verse. And that single verse is Acts chapter 23, verse 11. And again, I'm going to read this. It appears on the screen, and I'm going to encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. It says on that text, "But on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, 'Take courage. For as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also.'" Heavenly Father, this now is your word for us today. I pray, God, that you, in your sovereignty, you had this chapter on this day. I find that remarkable. And God, I pray now that you would calm our hearts, that you would calm our fears, that you would remove the distractions of this day and allow us now to focus upon the truths of this word and God, what this means to us in this day and in this season of time. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, number one, I got to say this, that even though most of you are at home watching, it's almost like you're here, because I only have two people in the front. Everybody else is in the back, okay? Just like you were here. Everyone wants to sit in the back first. Good Lutherans today. I'm grateful for that. Today's sermon is entitled Lord of the Night, and the text really came from that phrase in verse 11 that talked about in the night immediately following. And I've always just been amazed at that word night. And I think even of night, how oftentimes it symbolizes that which we're afraid of, those times that are hard. Oftentimes we talk about a dark season of time, a hard season of time, as being something of night. And as I was preparing this week, was thinking a lot about that and in my own life. And when I was younger, and I looked all over for this picture, you'd love to see this picture, but I had a picture of me when I was like in second or third grade. And I had a pet that was given to me, a dog, a German Shepherd, purebred German Shepherd. In fact, it came from the bloodlines of Rin Tin Tin, okay? And this dog was beautiful. And this dog was the gift to our family from my Uncle Mark, who raised German Shepherds at that time. And I know this is going to surprise you, but you know what my dog's name was? Chief. Yeah, I know that's a surprise to everybody. But his name was Chief. And I remember that we were out in the country in Holt, Missouri, out by Kearney, Missouri at that time. And we had creeks and woods and trees. And I remember the boys, we'd always go play. Chief was constantly at my side. I had absolutely nothing to fear from anyone or anything, because this very protective German Shepherd especially was fond of me. And I remember that so well, and the blessing that was. I think even today of the trials that I face in ministry, we all face in ministry and all face in life even. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Gloria, going on 33 years this year. And I think of the many times when we felt all alone except for one another. And the idea that there she was, there I was, and the encouragement that gave, and we had somebody standing at our side. I think this message is needed for us today. As I review what's going on in the world and the rapidly changing face of this coronavirus that we're facing, it is absolutely urgent today that we too find strength and we too find encouragement for a season that feels oftentimes like night. We're in a hard way, and there are those that really regard this as being just a season of night and of darkness. And I think all day then we need to hear this word. And the theme I was building upon this week is real simple. No night is too dark with the Lord at your side. Why is this so? Why can we look out and know that no night is too dark because we have the Lord at our side? How can we do that? And I believe that this verse 11 will give to us three principles that we can apply in this regard. First of all, I want to make the point, I think this is so critical and so important, especially as we start today, that Jesus is the Lord of the night and of the day. Okay? Jesus is Lord of the night, and he is Lord of the day. Okay? Now, when we look at Acts 23, and I hope that you've had time this week to review this a little bit, Paul is in kind of a bad way. Remember, he had come to Jerusalem. He had come to bring this offering. We talked about that last week, Acts chapter 22. And he had come with really good intentions. He wanted to begin to break down that barrier between Jew and Gentile. He's going to continue to work there. He's going to continue to preach, especially to the Jews, and really proclaim Christ to them. But things didn't go well. Remember, as we left Paul last time, he was rescued by the Roman guard. He was literally going to be torn to pieces by this big mob that had gathered. They wanted Paul dead. And they were going to kill him. And the guard had to come in and to protect him. So now Paul is going to be on trial again for Jesus. There's this whole group of people that are really mad and upset and want Paul dead. Okay, so we have to recognize that this is the context now of chapter 23. And really the remainder of the book of Acts is going to talk about this confrontation that Paul is having, particularly with the Jews, this battle that he is facing on and on and on. And this idea that surely at this time, these things were feeling like things were dark for Paul. This was a time of darkness. This was a time of difficulty. This was a time of burden. That's what we would see here. You know what, friends? We can say the same today, can't we? Man, if you read the news, you are going to be automatically discouraged and depressed right away. We're facing something unprecedented in our nation with this coronavirus. And there are people that really need to hear this message today that Jesus is Lord of night and of the day. Jesus is the Lord of everything. And I'm going to encourage you today, if you're at home, put down that bowl of Captain Crunch. Okay, put down that bowl of Captain Crunch. Get out your Bibles and follow. I want to show you how the Scriptures speak to the power and the authority of Jesus in all things. Go with me, first of all, to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. That's how I have to remember it. That's probably a good lesson for all of us. So Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse, I won't read it all, but verse 13 and following, especially. If you have your Bible, you're going to see that it says the incomparable Christ. Meaning there's nothing that we can compare Christ to. He is so great and he is so awesome. But listen to what it says in verse 16 and 17, especially regarding the authority that is even now Christ. It says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." And verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So here again, we have even this just one single text speaks to us today about the authority that Christ has over all things. Okay, know that today. Now go to Matthew with me. Go to Matthew 28. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Matthew today. And I love Matthew 28. Again, Jesus going to remove himself, or he's going to be taken back up to heaven. So again, this is going to be a time of very much big change for the disciples too, remember? They're all suddenly going to be left without their leader. But notice how Jesus brings encouragement to them. First of all, in verse 18, what's Jesus say? Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, what's he say? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Dear friends, there is no place today that Jesus Christ does not have authority, that Jesus Christ does not rule. Please know that. Please comfort yourself in that today, that Jesus is the Lord of the night and he is Lord of the day. Now, go back in Matthew chapter 8. So, Pastor, what does that mean? Okay, he's Lord over all things. What does that mean? Well, we don't have to go very far in the Scriptures to find out the power and the authority that Jesus has over all things and what all things are considered as. Notice, first of all, Matthew chapter 8. We can just camp out there for a little bit. Matthew chapter 8. First of all, notice what happens in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. So what's Jesus Lord over specifically in this text? He is Lord over sickness. Okay? He is Lord over sickness. It's interesting, this text, I believe, would also speak to the fact that Jesus, all the way through the Scriptures, he's Lord over lameness. He's Lord over blindness. Any physical ailment that we would have, Jesus is Lord over all of those things. That's good of us to know today. Now just go to the next page here. Go to verse 16. We see in this text here that when evening came, they brought to him many who were what? They were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and they were all who were healed were ill. All that were ill were healed. What's the beautiful part two of that? That with but a word, Jesus casts out these demons, these evil spirits. So he's Lord not only over sickness, He's also Lord over the demons and over all of these things of the evil one. He is Lord over even those beings as well. And then go with me a little bit further. Matthew chapter 8 again, verse 24. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, and the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus was himself asleep. I love that. And they came to him and woke up saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is Lord over nature. Jesus Christ is Lord over the demon world, the supernatural world. Jesus Christ is Lord over sickness. Jesus Christ is Lord over blindness. And most significantly today, I want us to know something. Go with me to John chapter 11. There's a wonderful blessed truth that I think sometimes we're quick to forget or to neglect, and it's an account that is so familiar to us. But John chapter 11, you know it well, the accounting of Lazarus and his death, and Mary and Martha, a family that Jesus loved so very deeply. And observe what happened. You know, we know the accounting here. Lazarus died. I mean, he was dead. In fact, he was dead to the point they buried him, right? They put him into the grave. And now if you go over to verse 38, it says, so Jesus, again, me being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was unwrapped wrapped around with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is Lord even over death. He rules over all things. His authority is for all time. And Jesus Christ is the Lord of both night and of day. That brings encouragement in tumultuous and chaotic times such as we're facing even now. Now go back to Matthew 28. Okay? Matthew 28. The one thing I missed the most is hearing those pages flip in the pews, and I missed that very much, and also missed the opportunity of razzing guys like Corey Hansen and Matt Vold and Dan Erickson. I love picking on those guys, but I missed that today. But go with your Bibles, Matthew 28. Notice what Jesus, how he encourages his disciples. Matthew 28, verse 20, what's he say? The last phrase, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus promises us that he has authority over all things, and even as important, he is with us for all times. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Includes the age we're living in, friends. This involves coronavirus or whatever else may come. These are times that are included in this phrase. And the promise that Jesus makes to you and to me is that he will never leave us, that he'll never forsake us, and that he calls us this day to walk forth in faith and not in fear. We need that word, and we need to be reminded always that Jesus is the Lord of the night and of the day. Second truth is this: Jesus is the Lord of encouragement, okay? Jesus is the Lord of encouragement. I tell you, this has been, and I'm going to refer back to this later on, but this has been a week. And on Thursday of this week, I learned, of course, that we had to address what was happening. You know, it's interesting. On Monday of this week, we were praying about this, but hadn't really thought about coronavirus. And by Wednesday and Thursday, we are in full coronavirus mode. And I had to be able to draft a letter to send out to our congregation to be an encouragement to them. You know, I was called forth to do that. And you guys know my habit well of reading scripture. I love to read scripture, and every morning I'll read, you know, 3 or 4 chapters out of the Old Testament, and I'll read a psalm and a proverb every day, and then I'll read 1 or 2 chapters out of the New Testament. That's kind of my routine. And you know, the Old Testament, there's a lot of books in the Old Testament. There's a lot of texts in the Old Testament. So I had one of my three chapters on Thursday morning when I was going to be ready to write that letter to our church was Isaiah chapter 7. And this appeared in that newsletter, so you may know, but I wanted to read it again. Maybe there'll be some that'll listen to this that didn't see that newsletter. And I thought to myself, how good is God to meet at that place of need? How good is God to meet at that place of need? The very thing that I needed to hear, God's word gave to me. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4. The scene is this. The King Ahaz is going to face an onslaught from his enemies. They're going to come and they're going to attack him. And they are worried, they are fearful. And then God comes to his prophet Isaiah and sends him to this king. And this is his word. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 7. And say to him, listen to this, take care and be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted. I couldn't believe it. God, how good are you? The very word that I needed to hear, the very word that I believe our congregation needed to hear, is right here contained in the text, in the scriptures. Take care and be calm. Have no fear and do not be faint-hearted. We need this word today, dear friends, because fear is one of Satan's greatest tools. It's one of his greatest weapons in his arsenal. Because what's fear do? Fear causes us to react and become reactionary rather than being leaders. Fear paralyzes us. Fear makes one afraid to do anything or you just get locked down. Fear literally paralyzes us. That's why we need this word today. Much has been said about how the scriptures contain these commandments of do not fear, do not be afraid, one for every day of the day, every day of the year, 365 times. I haven't taken time to count them, but I am sure that that is accurate. That God always and continually meets us when we are fearful, when we are afraid. And he encourages us this day that we not succumb to those temptations of the evil one, to fall into a place of fear and to fall into a place of panic. God's word says what? It says, take care and be calm. Have no fear and do not be faint-hearted. I love that word. I needed that word this week. And I believe with all my heart you need that word as well. Well, now let's go back to Acts 23. How does this text apply to Paul and to us then? What's in this text for us today as we look at this verse 11 in particular, Acts 23, verse 11? There are four words in this text that particularly give to us encouragement, okay? But on the night immediately following, it says, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, okay? Word number one I want you to observe is the word stood, okay? The word stood. And what this word is a word that has an active sense of being readied. It would be a word that would describe a battalion of troops and army armed to the teeth and ready for battle. The idea here is that the Lord is ready for action. He's not lounging on the couch. He's not sitting in the easy chair. But again, in this night, when Paul, everything around him was going sour, everything was going bad for Paul, okay? At that very moment, and in that time of night, it says, the Lord stood at his side. The Lord, you see, was ready. The Lord, you see, was prepared. And the Lord, you see, was ready to help his own. That's a good word of encouragement. The Lord stood at his side. The Lord is ready. And then notice it says, at his side. At his side. And what that implies, of course, is a partnership, doesn't it? It means a working together, okay? It means that God was going to work with Paul. Paul was going to depend upon God. Jesus was going to help Paul in this case. And what I find remarkable about this whole idea that the Lord stood at his side is that this brings up this whole point of human responsibility and divine sovereignty. Where do you get that from, Pastor? Well, notice what happens later on in the text. What happens? Paul makes this great statement, verse 11, and then notice in verse 12 and following, we learn of a conspiracy. There was a group of Jews that wanted Paul dead so bad that they were going to do everything that they could to kill him. And there was a conspiracy, a lie that was going to go forth that they would bring Paul out so they could jump on him and be in an ambush and kill him. But notice what it says in verse 16, the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush and he came and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul said, go and tell the commander, and the commander took action, okay? Now it's interesting to me that Paul didn't just ignore this word of conspiracy. And we may ask ourselves, well, what's the deal here? And notice what happens in verse 11. Paul is assured in verse 11 that the Lord will stand at his side. Paul is assured in verse 11 that he is to take courage and he's going to have this promise he's going to witness in Rome. And yet, when Paul was threatened, what did he do? Did he just kick back and say, well, God said he's going to protect me, so I don't got to do nothing? No, not at all. Paul took action. Paul took action as far as he was able. You see, he took responsibility in this. And I believe, too, as we come to face whatever crisis we face, that God indeed gave us a brain for a purpose, dear friends. And there are certain actions that we can take that will help, such as not coming together in our congregation today. This is intended to flatten the curve. This is intended to help, okay? And I want us to see here today that although Paul had every promise of God's provision and protection, that Paul nonetheless took action. Dear friends, we're called to the same today. Let us not just stand aside, but let us be also partners with the Lord and take action. And then the other two words, we got stood and side, and then the other two words are take courage. Take courage. Do you know that phrase is spoken seven times in the scripture? Always, always on the lips of Jesus. Take courage. Paul, in the darkest, one of the darkest of his nights, is really comforted by the Lord Jesus himself. And the words of encouragement is, take courage. I'm going to indulge in one more scripture text today, Isaiah chapter 43. And you know, if you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, I would probably suggest you do. This was a wonderful text that encouraged me, Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." Dear friends, this is a word for us today, a word that we can take for the good, that we can get encouragement in, that we would recognize that in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, Jesus is Lord of the night and the day, and he is also the Lord of encouragement. It doesn't end there, though. This text just keeps getting better. The Lord is also the Lord of purpose, okay? Go with me again back to Acts 23, verse 11 again. Acts 23, verse 11. How is the Lord of encouragement in this text? First of all, notice what he says. Take courage, and as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause in Jerusalem, you must also witness at Rome also. Notice this. As you have solemnly witnessed. Paul, you see, was faithful to the call of God. Now, go back to what I said earlier. Had Paul been successful? Were there thousands of converts throughout this time? Did the whole city of Jerusalem come to believe in Jesus because of the preaching of Paul the apostle? No. And in fact, Paul had found himself in jail. And I want us to observe today that there is a commendation that is given here. That Jesus is saying, you have solemnly witnessed to my cause. And I want us to see here that commendation is not given because Paul was successful as much as it's given because Paul is faithful. Faithfulness is what God wants. We may not always be successful in every undertaking and every task that we do, even in the name of the Lord. And yet we would see here that Paul was commended because he was faithful. Dear friends, I want to be commended. I want us to be commended, not because we're successful, but because we be found faithful. And that's the encouragement that we would see. That's the purpose, you see, that God would have. There was a work for Paul. He was to solemnly witness. And then notice that phrase, my cause. The NASB has my capitalized. This is a good reminder for all of us at church today. We oftentimes think of ministry as my ministry. This ain't my ministry, friends. This ain't your ministry. This is God's ministry. And I love this text how it says, my cause. It's a good reminder for all churches. It's a good reminder for all parishioners that this work that we're involved in isn't my work. It's not your work. It's the Lord's work. And we do well to recognize that this day and every day. And then notice also what happens in this text. Paul, the text goes on and says, so you must witness at Rome also. That word also I highlighted in my Bible. And you say, why would Pastor underline the word also? I would highlight and underline the word also because I believe that is a word of continuation. And Paul is in prison. Paul is You know, he didn't know he was going to live to tomorrow, okay? Now, he's got God's promise, of course, but he had no idea what was going to happen. And yet, do you see what happened here? In this text, there was this encouragement and there was a purpose. Jesus says, so you must witness at Rome also. You see, dear friends, Jesus was not with Paul. There was more work for Paul to do. And this was going to be an encouragement. It was going to be a purpose that Paul was called to fulfill. He was indeed going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to indeed witness, go to beyond Jerusalem, go to Rome. Rome was the capital of the heathen world. And God, you see, had a great plan and a great purpose and a great vision for Paul to go to that place and to witness to the gospel and witness to the power of God. You know, as I was reading this text this week, I put ourselves in that same place. Might I dare say that I don't believe that this is an end to history today? I think it's a beginning. That word also, I think, applies to us. And God is calling forth his people. God is calling forth his church. That in the time of this chaos and burden and difficulty, hardship, trial, this time of night, that we would stand up, we would be faithful to the place that God has put us. He's been faithful to the place that he has put me and he's put you. And dear friends, I can say with assurance that God is not done with us yet. Do you know that today? Have confidence in that. God is not done with us yet. He has a work for us to do. And he accompanies us in that work. I'm going to close today by speaking to a captain of the Missouri State Highway Patrol, Captain Ronald Johnson. You remember back in 2014, the great racial strife that occurred when a young African-American teenager was shot and killed by a white cop. And you remember the outrage that occurred. And for the days immediately following that, the police force tried to use armored vehicles and all this kind of stuff to regain order in Ferguson, Missouri, and it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. The governor of Missouri, eventually about 1 week of this, called in Captain Ronald Johnson and said, you and the state highway patrol are going to be given authority in Ferguson, Missouri. Captain Ronald Johnson accepted that call. He is a man of faith, by the way. And he went into that place and he took off all of the armament. He took off all the bulletproof stuff and he walked around town just like that. He wanted to show to those people that he was a man just as they were. There was a unity that there existed through their humanness, if you would. And it was interesting because those days were not easy at all. And in fact, there was a lot of difficulty, a lot of burden. But Captain Ronald Johnson and the State Highway Patrol of the state of Missouri finally regained a unity in Ferguson, Missouri. And I remember Captain Johnson, in an interview, he talked about how there was one night in particular where he literally knelt down on the floor on his knees and he says, God, I feel alone. I feel all alone right now. And at that very moment, he sensed in his spirit this word from the Lord. Ronald, you are not alone. You just have to understand who is with you. Dear friends, as we face the coronavirus or whatever come our way, let us bear in mind that we are not in this alone and that we indeed have the Lord on our side. Heavenly Father, I'm going to pray now your blessing and your favor upon this congregation and upon all those who would hear this word today. And as it's encouraged my heart, may it encourage theirs as well. We pray things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. God's Word is indeed powerful and life-giving. If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800. Where you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We are also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758.
We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.